Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
How does it make you feel to learn that someone has been talking about you? Usually we think of this in a negative sense. We feel like someone has said something behind our backs that maybe they wouldn't feel comfortable in saying to our face. But what if the person talking about you turned out to be Jesus the Christ? How would you feel if Jesus was talking about you? Now, we might automatically think of that as a good thing. But really, in both cases, what we feel about it should be determined by what is actually said. Today we're going to find that Jesus addresses a man not behind his back, but directly to the face and in front of others. What Jesus had to say made the difference in this man's life. And I wonder sometimes if maybe Jesus is talking about us. We take our text from this particular chapter where Jesus heals a woman who has a bent spine. This is one of 35 different miracles that Jesus performed while he was on the earth, and we have broken his miracles down into 5 different categories. We see that by performing miracles, Jesus showed his command over natural law. He showed that he had the ability to fulfill physical need. He showed his authority over Satan, his power over death. And finally, he focused attention on spiritual sickness by healing some physical sickness that people could easily see. The miracle that we are looking at today falls into this latter category. It is part of a continuing story of conflict that existed between Jesus and the religious rulers of that day. Jesus angered these rulers with his teaching and also with his interpretation of the law, especially the way he interpreted the law regarding the Sabbath day. In our text from Luke chapter 13, Jesus heals a woman with a bent spine. We learned that the source of this infirmity came from Satan. Satan had bound her with this demon that caused this infirmity, and Jesus loosed her from that, and it means that Jesus made her fully free from that. We see that she then became a fulfillment of a prophetic psalm. Psalm 146 in verse 8 says that Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Jesus straightened this woman's crooked spine and exposed a crooked heart in the ruler of the Sabbath. Jesus often exposed hypocrites, and on this day he showed us that he is Lord of the Sabbath, and that he understood that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. The Sabbath was never intended to be a weight for man to bear. Instead, it was intended to meet man's need for rest. Exodus chapter 20 shows us that. Jesus' rebuke on this occasion brought all of his adversaries to the point of being ashamed, yet all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Luke chapter 13 and verse 17. The miraculous power of Christ, the tender compassion of the Savior, the skillful handling of the Scriptures were all reasons for the people to rejoice, and those who saw what he did honestly did so. On this particular occasion, though, not everyone was happy. As we noticed last week, there was one there who was a hypocrite. Jesus calls him this, and the question I ask today is, was Jesus talking about you? Now, he called this ruler a hypocrite. It's from the Greek word hypokrites, and it means an actor or a stage player. It comes from a root that literally means one who speaks a false part. In the Greek theater, a hypocrite was one who wore a mask and played a role on stage, imitating the speech and conduct of some character. In spiritual terms, a hypocrite is one who tries to make others believe he is righteous while hiding what he really is. He's like a stage actor. He puts on a garment of righteousness, wears a mask of purity, and puts on a grand performance. With this definition in mind, I'd like for us to spend the rest of our time looking at a few areas in which many of us fall into the sin of hypocrisy. The first area is that of church attendance. To many, this is the most easily seen and measured aspect of a Christian's faithfulness. Anyone who teaches that the Bible says we are to worship with the saints and then forsakes the assembly is a hypocrite. What makes us think that a child who is encouraged to be a loyal member of a sports team to the point of missing worship services will ever be a faithful child of God? We should understand that he will clearly learn the message taught, that one commitment is much greater than the other. What about things like gospel meetings and lectureships and extra Bible classes that are offered? Do you miss these opportunities to gather with the saints so that your normal weekly schedule is not interrupted? Every reasonable person understands that there are times when one legitimately misses worship services. But we have far too many hypocrites in the church in this area. We are oftentimes ready to show support for any civic, school, or social cause with attendance and effort, but we can't be bothered to attend the worship of the Lord's church. The Bible still commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. If we teach what the Bible says about the need to assemble, but we neglect the assembling ourselves, we're a hypocrite, and Jesus was talking about you. A second area where we see this great hypocrisy is in that of church work. Often someone will introduce himself by saying, "I'm a member of the so-and-so Church of Christ." Sometimes I wonder if we realize what we are saying. The word member is only used two ways in the Bible. It's used to indicate a part of a person's physical body, as in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 29. Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." The word member here indicates a part of the physical body. Of course, Jesus is not teaching us to mutilate our bodies or to maim ourselves. He's just teaching us that as terrible as the loss of an eye or a limb would be, it's nothing compared to the horror of hell. The second way that the Bible uses this word member is in referring to a Christian, one who is part of the spiritual body, the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, Paul wrote, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." This is a member of the Lord's body, the spiritual body. And if I claim to be a member and do not work for the Lord in my local congregation, I am a hypocrite. For the church to be what God wants, it must have Christ as its head. Then the whole body must be joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Here in America, we often sing a song entitled, "I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord." If we sing that song with no intention of actually being a member, a real part of the body that does his part, then it's just a lie set to music. We're just a hypocrite, and Jesus could just as easily have been talking about us. A third and closely related area of hypocrisy is seen in those who complain that things aren't being done right while never doing anything to help themselves. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 3, Jesus talked about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "But do not according to their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Notice that 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14 says, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward." The Bible never promised a reward to those who simply sit and complain. And if we complain rather than working, when the Bible clearly requires such diligent labor of us, then we are but hypocrites. And the Lord could just as easily have been talking about us. A less obvious area of hypocrisy is found in those who are so concerned about performing the proper acts of worship, which we must of course do, that they neglect having a proper heart and attitude. Now, this is hardly a new problem. Isaiah proclaimed, "These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me." Isaiah 29 and verse 13. On the other hand, Paul tells us that the reason the Macedonians were able to give so liberally of their means, even though they were very poor, is that they had first given themselves to God. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. That is what God is looking for. First a pure heart, and then naturally the pure worship will follow. If we gather with the Lord's people, even doing the right things, and yet we do not do so with the proper attitude, we are but a hypocrite. And the Lord could just as easily have been talking about us. A final area of hypocrisy that I would like to mention is that of what I will call everyday life. When we profess to be a Christian, Christ-like, the possession of Christ, but use improper speech, watch impure movies, listen to vulgar music, attend dances, drink alcohol, use tobacco, cheat in business, or lie to our neighbors, We are hypocrites. We should stand in the world as a light on a candlestick, reproving the works of darkness, Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 11. We must have a much higher standard of behavior than the world does, because our standard must be God's standard, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. When the world has to give warnings about various activities, such as labels on video games, the famous Surgeon General's warning on tobacco, the Don't Drink and Drive campaign, ratings on movies and music, Christians should already know that we have no business partaking in these activities and products. Let us instead follow the Apostle Paul's admonition, as he wrote it in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we claim to be a Christian, yet we live like the devil, then we simply are a hypocrite. And just as Jesus addressed the ruler of the synagogue in Luke chapter 13 and called him a hypocrite, he could just as easily have been talking about us. I hope that when Jesus does speak about you, and he will one day, in the last day, he will either stand with you or against you. And I hope that when he speaks of you, it will be something that is good. If we live our lives as a hypocrite, we will surely be lost. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.